Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my imagination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
West Connection Podcast Championship Edition.
Yeah,
it's Chris Andres over there, Jeremy Moss, somewhat guiding the ship a little bit as I normally try to do. MWCConnection.com, that's the website. Check it out if you haven't. I'd be hard struck to find somebody who's listened to this only but not found our website.
We are the champions, my friends.
Oh, wait. Yes?
MWC Connection is our Twitter account. Yes, I'm just ignoring that. Mountain West Connection is the Facebook page. And yeah, championship.
I figured, I wasn't sure if you heard me or not, but I figured you were ignoring me. I decided to do it anyway.
Of course, why not? Queen, that's a great band. Plus, if you play too much or if you sing too much, it sounds just like it. SoundCloud will not allow us to upload, so we don't want to have that problem.
Are you kidding me?
No, because little known fact.
Don't they realize that they're covers?
True, but the reason your songs get through for the theme song, it's because you record it over your speakers, not like mixing your voice with the song, because we tried that once and I got emails. I'm like, why is this not uploading? Why is this not uploading? Because what you did once, I'm like, hey, this will sound better if, Chris, you just sing it or rake up the words to the awesome songs you do for open, but just mix it with the actual song. But that didn't quite work out and they kicked us out.
Yeah.
So that's why it does that. So yeah, we are going to get to football eventually. We have a title game this weekend, right?
It's something like that. I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
I do know. Should we just? I know how much you love San Diego State fans.
I'd say that the most of them that I run into are okay. Just ones on the internet just happen to be just completely crazy.
The faceless heroes, anonymous vigilantes.
Yes, the internet.
Yes, the comment section, as it might be called.
The comment section, ow.
I tried to watch that show on The Soup, but it wasn't very funny. So The Soup's comment section wasn't great, but they. Yeah. And that note, do you ever watch The Soup at all?
I do not.
Oh man, it's ending December 18th forever. So if people care about that,
anyway,
yeah, let's get to football title game. Oh great, I got an auto ad here playing, so I'll try to bypass that here. Mountain West title game, 4:30 Pacific at the Q, Qualcomm. Let me ask you this, and this is no slight, or maybe a little slight if you take it how you want to, but what do you think the attendance will be at the Qualcomm Stadium this afternoon on Saturday?
You want my honest opinion?
Over under 32,000.
I'm going to say 36.
Are there fireworks involved in this game?
There might be fireworks involved in this game.
Is there an air show involved? Because that's the only way the stadium fills out if it's not a Chargers game.
No, yeah. Maybe, hey, I don't know. I'm sure they're planning something of the sorts. I you know what? I don't know what's going to go on in this game. I don't even know what I'm doing during this game, so...
Yeah, we're still... Javin, if you're listening, which you're probably not, hook us up. Come on. Come on. We're still waiting to get access, which we'll see. It's a completely different scenario to apply, but not that anybody cares about that. But the game itself, have you been monitoring the money? Well, actually, sorry, I'm skipping around. The attendance, you say 32.5. Is that correct? About there?
Wait, I didn't hear that. What?
You're going about 32.5 for the attendance, you say?
No, I said about 36.
Oh, 36. Yeah, I can't go over 40. I'm thinking,
you're the one who said 30 over under on 32. I said 36.
I'm going to go.
I'm going bold, and I'm going like lots of people. Because what you don't realize here is that, yes, you do have a lot of San Diego State alumni who will be at the game on Saturday. But you also have Miramar Base and MCAS Air Force Base, which is just miles from Qualcomm Stadium. Good lots point. Of military there. Lots of military in Camp Pendleton, even though that's more Navy and Marine base. But
still armed forces. Armed forces.
Still armed forces. I think you're going to see some our military promotion within that. I think you're going to get a very strong crowd on Saturday.
I would be hard-pressed to see it surpassing 40,000.
Fine. Whatever.
I'm just saying, it's not the... jump on them, but you planned a 70,000 seat stadium. Let's get to the game. I'm tired of talking about this. Let's get to the game. Have you been monitoring the line on this game at all?
I have not monitored the line on this game, and as the official gambler or not the official gambler, I don't know what the hell that is. I feel bad about it, sort of, but not really.
Do you know what it is at the moment?
Actually do not. So I'm going to go ahead and make a guess and say San Diego State is favored by 5.5.
I was correct at one point during the week. It opened up at, here's the weird thing. It opened up at 3.5 once they realized who's hosting, which makes sense. They're doing quite well at home. It actually, and then it went to 5.5 like right away on Sunday. And then somehow on Monday it went to 6.5. Even knowing Maxwell Smith is out for this game, it's finally kind of settled back down to 4.5 in favor of San Diego State. And I don't see it getting above 5.
So I was close?
You were right at one point.
Oh, okay. I was right. That makes me feel good.
Man, it's going to be a close game. Here's kind of what's going on here. I did some little research, actually, against the spread and all that type of stuff, just to give some more insight to the game. So here, I put this up on our site earlier today, just noting that the money line's going more toward Air Force, but just a little bit. So right now, as we said, 4.5 points. San Diego State's 5-1 at home, and we all know their one loss was the overtime debacle to South Alabama. They are 3. If you care about spread, they're 3-2-1 against the spread at home. While as Air Force, they are 3-3 on the road against the spread, 2-4 away. So that's kind of how that shapes out. If you're interested in that type of stuff.
Interesting.
So I'm trying to dive a little bit deeper into this stuff.
Huh. Oh, I'm listening.
No, I'm just that's all I got to say. That's kind of what it is. So
let's go ahead and take each position. Okay, so I know we didn't prepare for this beforehand.
We already know.
But how do we want to do this? Do we want to do just preview of the overall game? Do we want to do point counterpoint?
I might do an article on this. I might not. But let's kind of go position group by position group. Let's start with the big news. As I alluded to, Maxwell Smith is out, torn ACL for San Diego State. Happened in the first half of the Nevada game. Here's interesting notes. He's going to attempt to play in the bowl game, whenever or wherever that may be. Play with a brace.
I just realized that most of the Mountain West bowl games are earlier in the bowl season, yes?
However, yes, but the Cactus Bowl, which if you read the article today, January 2nd, very good possibility they land there.
Yes, but that is still 1 month. A torn ACL. Torn ACL.
It Here's the thing. I'm like, that seems odd. But if you think about it, you lose your lateral movement. So if he's dropping back, no lateral handing off, not a big deal. He doesn't throw very much. But the first time he gets harassed in the pocket, he's going down and probably going to leave the game.
That's stupid. Sorry. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't care who you are. Once you tear an ACL, minimum 3 months you're out.
Yeah, if you're lucky, but...
Yeah, it's not happening.
There's I forget who it is, one of the Air Force, not to change sports, but basketball guys tore his ACL. He's not having surgery until, like, 6 weeks. He's going to finish this semester and have surgery, and he's done for the year. In basketball, he could come back sooner. Yeah, basketball, different motion and things, but it's... I get why he wants to play his... Because that means, if he wants to come back this bad, that means he probably is not granted that hardship waiver for an extra year of eligibility. So that's probably why he wants to come back so bad. So he's out. Here's the one question. Our good friend Chase Clorfield does stuff for Scout for Boise State. He had my favorite question of the day. So already, how big a deal is it that Maxwell Smith is out?
Not that big of a deal. Remember what we talked about in the recap here. Literally, San Diego State's offense is built like Alabama's. The quarterback is there just to hand the ball off.
Alabama?
And pass on occasion.
Yeah, he went, 44 yards? It's going to be a heavy dose of Pumphrey and Chase Price. That's all it will be. The occasional throw. Here's the thing, and even this, Rocky Long even said in one of his press conferences, or maybe the teleconference, he's making the offense even more basic. Is that possible?
Who?
Rocky. Did I say somebody else? Rocky Long. Did I say somebody else?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Rocky Long, head coach. Maybe I said Bob Davey for some reason, but.
It's making his basic plan more basic. Yeah, that makes sense. But here's the thing. How more basic could it be? Slightly take the counterpoint on here. Air Force, if you noticed Air Force's in their loss to New Mexico, their running backs knew how New Mexico got on the outside was big plays by bouncing on the outside. There was only like one play where they went through the middle and they started through the middle, but like I said, then they bounced on the outside.
Yeah, that's what Presley and Taj Gibson do.
Yeah.
Aztecs don't do that, though. They go up the gut. Air
Force defense is actually quite decent let's rephrase. I can't talk tonight. Air Force's defense is actually quite good at stopping runs up the middle. So, Chase Price, Donnell Pumphrey, both of those, okay? They're not the type of players to run on the outside. They are literally up and down rushers.
Donald Pumphrey's like Emmitt Smith is my best comparison. Small stature guy, runs up the middle and just takes a pounding. But let's we're kind of moving too far. Let's kind of back up. We started at quarterback and went crazy.
Okay.
Kind of. But I mean, who would you rather have, Carson Roberts or whoever San Diego State wants to throw out there?
It's going to be Christian Chapman. And you know, yeah. At this point, just because Carson Roberts knows how to run his offense well, I'd rather have Carson Roberts out there. But that doesn't mean that Christian Chapman still can't be effective. He was very effective in throwing the ball all 9 times last week.
For 44 yards.
Yeah, he doesn't have to run. He doesn't have to throw the ball a lot. He doesn't have to throw the ball far. Just toss the ball when you need to.
If he does, there's an issue. Here, like we said all year, if they're getting above 20 attempts passing, something's wrong with San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
And we've barely seen him play. He's a redshirt freshman versus Nevada, their defense. They have Ian Sayal, a couple guys out there, but nothing spectacular. He's throwing against Weston Stillhammer, who will make plays. And I'm just thinking he's not going to throw downfield. They're going to run more than normal. And like you said, if San Diego State's running attack is up to middle as it is, and that's where Air Force's strength is with Alex Hansen and the rest of the guys up front, this could be a tough matchup for Aztecs running the ball. They'll get yards, but they may not get like when they played Nevada. Look how many big plays they had versus Nevada running the ball. That may not happen versus Air Force.
Yeah, exactly. If Air Force sticks to its game plan and basically plugs up the middle of the field, forcing Pumphrey to go on the outside, forcing Chase Price to go on the outside, really the most dynamic player you have to worry about is the one player on San Diego State who can bounce to the outside with no problem. And that's a player who we haven't talked about very much this season, but he's made a huge impact. That's Rashad Penny.
Yeah, special teams player of the year.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that Penny is going to make a bigger impact in this game than I think probably even Pumphrey.
Special teams or just offensively?
Both.
Both. Okay. So with the running back position, I think we have to – I think it's a no-brainer. My advantage
– we have to give the edge to San Diego State.
Yeah, San Diego State. As for – I was on a Wyoming radio station the other day kind of chatting about this game, and they're like, how does Air Force win? And I went to the running game, and I fully agree with – I said this a couple times. They can't have every player getting 12 carries. They need – if they're going to win and be successful, they need Jacoby Owens to run the ball about 20 times. Everybody else gets about 10 to 12. They can't have it be evenly distributed with the top guy. Yeah, they have other guys who could run the ball well, but he's your back. He's the guy. And they need to give him the bulk of the carries, because if you see in the past couple of games they've won or lost or played close, it's because they've been giving equal carries about. But
right, exactly.
Air Force a lot more yards, I think, and probably maybe even a better yards per carry, but it's San Diego State running game is – I'm taking Donald Pumphrey any day and Chase Price. Chase Price has more yards than Jacoby Owens on the year, if you're wondering. And
however,
many touchdowns.
However, we do have to give credit for somebody picking up the Air Force slack towards the end of the year, especially the last two games. Timothy McVay.
Unabomber?
Bad jokes. Stop.
Sorry. I had you one last time. No. Yeah,
McVay.
Tim McVay. Okay.
Tim McVay. Tim McVay has he's basically – oh, my God. I don't want to – how do I describe this without sounding like a horrible person? Tim McVay has basically picked up this Air Force offense more so than Jacoby Owens the last couple weeks. And he's basically been Air Force's biggest playmaker, not just as a running back.
Five touchdowns.
Exactly. That was just last week.
Yeah, he doubled his career, I think.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be a player to look out for in terms of the running game and even in terms of the overall Air Force play. But I think you're absolutely right. You have to give the edge to San Diego State. So,
but also go ahead.
Oh, okay. No. Go ahead.
Well, I was
just going to move on.
Yeah. Okay, me too. I was kind of go to the wide receiver spot. That's where Air Force – you don't think of them being wide receivers, but the past couple of games, like, this kind of goes back to quarterback, but since the Army game, actually going back to, well, yeah, let's just stick with the Army game. The past four games, Air Force has thrown for 156, 271, 279, and 167 yards. The most attempts in three of those four games had the most attempts all year, and touchdowns also had half their touchdowns in, or two-thirds, excuse me, in six. So it's not just, like I said, it's going to be McVay, it's going to be Colinette, get the tight ends. The passing game has come alive more than it usually is for Air Force. And I'm wondering, is it a push?
Well, this is where I kind of remember how I was joking about a pass-heavy triple option. I mean, both Air Force and Navy have kind of used it to their advantage this year. And the reason why I bring in Navy is because of Keenan Reynolds. But, yeah, in terms of wide receivers, you have Tim McVay, right? We just mentioned him. But the person who's been a huge offensive powerhouse for Air Force this year, who once again, we really – Jalen Robinette.
Yeah, he had the Utah State game. Was 11 for 200?
11 for 210. And then so far, quote-unquote, only this season, he only has 21 catches for 572 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, those numbers are insane per reception.
Looking at this really quick, anybody that has more than – Garrett Griffin has the fewest receptions. I'm going to count here with eight. Here's the average per catch, 21.6 for Griffin. McVay has eight receptions, three touchdowns, 31 yards per catch. Garrett Brown, 26, averaging 20 and a half. Then Robinette, 21 receptions, averaging 27 yards per reception. This is the pinnacle of the option offense where you suck in the safeties and go deep. Because if you look at their logs, they have logs of 74, 61, 75, 51, 35, 33, and 20. And that's just individual logs for seven different players.
Right. So, I mean, you're telling me right there. I mean, you've got guys on offense. And I think this is where overall, and you're going to laugh at me. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll agree with me here. I think Air Force's overall offense, I think, is better than San Diego State's offense. And I think that will be part of the difference. Wait.
Say that again, slowly and more clearly.
So, Air Force.
Hold on. And this is Greek Padre on Twitter, if you're wondering.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to get a flame down on Twitter right here. I think Air Force's overall offense as a whole is better than San Diego State's offense.
I agree.
At Jerry Mouse, everybody.
Exactly, yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from, and it's not a slight one bit against San Diego State. Air Force could just do more. They're multifaceted compared to what San Diego State can do.
That's the thing. If Air Force is somehow being blocked up with the run, they're not going to abandon their triple option. They're still going to pull out their triple option, but they're just going to throw more. And that's how, like, that's how against Boise State, that's how against some of these Bear teams, even against New Mexico last week, they run the triple option, they're getting stuffed down the middle, and so all of a sudden, that opens up the pass. And that's how Air Force was able to come back in last week's game, even though they lost. Air Force has a more diverse offense, which forces the San Diego State defense, the best defense in the conference, by the way.
Yes.
Which is going to force them to basically be diverse on defense. Because here's the thing, and we're going to get to both defenses in a minute here. You're talking about a 3-3-5 defense, right? Rocky Long specialty, who can pretty much stop anybody with a run. But guess what? Air Force triple option, so run heavy, but has been so effective on the pass this year. You're like, let's not worry about it. That's how they're going to score.
And let me add this to you. San Diego State has not played a triple option offense all year and did not prepare at all for that this year, preseason or otherwise.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you had Boise State who had essentially two weeks to prepare for it, and you know.
Well, I'm just saying they have not.
And I would say Boise State's defense and San Diego State's defense are very similar. They might run a different style of defense, 3-3-5 versus the 4-2-5. But, I mean, A, those are numbers because the 4-2-5 turns into kind of a hybrid nickel safety position.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, you're talking about two teams that are very built to stop the run, but against an option, at least Boise State's turf, they couldn't stop the option because they just had the wrong assignments. Is San Diego State going to prepare for that? I mean, they've played the triple option every single year until they split up into conferences with Air Force. But is San Diego State, is Rocky Long going to be prepared to play assignment, solid assignment ball?
Well, it's not him. He knows what he's doing to players. They haven't practiced it. So he knows what he's doing. I have trust that he'll have a game plan in place. And I say it all the time. You just, like I said, assignment sound. You have to do your one position every time. If you're guarding the pitch man, guard him every time. The QB may get yards off you or the running back if they pitch, but the one time you go for the fake on the pitch, Roberts will be gone for 50 yards down the middle of the field. And that's what they haven't practiced more than, 4 days, 5 days?
Something like that, yeah.
Let's overall offensively here. If I were to give you a guess without looking, which I'm sure you don't have this up, yards per game, who do you think is better, Air Force or San Diego State?
Overall yards per game, Air Force.
True, which is not too surprising.
That's not surprising.
But do you want to know what the difference is? Do you want to take a guess?
I will say that Air Force has more yards passing on average per game.
Well, I'm just like overall yards per game, I'm saying. The difference.
Oh, the total difference?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Air Force has something like 329 yards per game. San Diego State probably with Pumphrey and Price. You're racking up about probably – 220, 230, maybe 250 between the two of them every single week, plus Smith's maybe 100 yards of throwing. I'm going to say the difference is probably – I got to say the difference between yards per game between the two teams, I'm going to say probably about 30 yards.
Try about 100.
What? Am I really that far off?
Air Force is averaging 462 yards per game, number two in the conference behind Boise State. San Diego State's number eight at just 373.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's not all. Yards per play, almost a yard difference in favor of Air Force, who's number one in the conference at 6.43 compared to 5.58, which is seventh. So I'm just saying that. And then also, not to Aztec fans may try to kick me in the face, but the Mountain Division is far superior than the West, and Air Force is doing much better against that competition. And they played Navy, and they played Michigan State.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know what's even more sad to make Aztec fans not like me even more?
What?
I just thought of this the other day. Had they beaten South Alabama, they probably would be in prime position to go to a New Year's Six bowl game if they're to be 11-2.
Oh, duh. Absolutely.
It would be between them and whoever wins the American this weekend.
Oh, you know it. And I bet if they had not lost to South Alabama beforehand, they would have already been ranked higher than whoever was in the AC.
Yeah, because they'd have a 9-game winning streak instead of 8. And they're barely getting votes now. So it's quite possible, but I had a whole theory going around if UConn would have won, but that's not going to happen anymore. let's go to defense here. We know Rocky Long's defense, like you said, the 3-3-5. They had what, defensive player of the year? They had multiple on the all conference front. It was actually, I believe, Air Force had more all conference defenders than San Diego State. If I'm correct, I should pull that up. But the defense itself, they had you actually nailed it. The defensive player of the year for San Diego State.
Well, duh.
Sorry.
I'm acting like I know everything about this conference when I know that I'm not, like, absolutely.
We know what we're talking about, but no, you nailed that. And then I also nailed who the media would have picked for the first team running backs, even though people are butthurt about Brian Hill and McNichols. I'm like, come on, there's four good backs. Any four could have been the first team.
And that's why I said it. I thought it was going to be, I honestly, offensive production. It had to come down between Hill and Pumphrey, and I thought they were just going to give it to Hill. And I thought they were going to give Hill and Irvin the first team, but Pumphrey should have – oh, my goodness, I'm going to hate myself saying this. Pumphrey deserved to win Offensive Player of the Year.
And I also like how I get crushed by saying the Freshman of the Year is not a big deal. I'm like, well, it's not. Not as a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Even though Rippon was the first team QB. But back to defense. Let's get to what we really want to talk about. Defensively – I thought Air Force's defense would be pretty down this year because of how they've returned, I think, only four total starters, even though their two best players, Alex Hansen and Weston Stillhammer, were back. Their defense hasn't been good since Tim DeRuiter was running their defense about, what, 6 years ago or so? Yeah, that same Tim DeRuiter who's running at Fresno State, folks.
Wah, wah.
So what are your thoughts? Like, we already kind of touched on what the run option attack Air Force does. Do you think San Diego State players can, like Calvin Munson and those guys, can actually stop? Because they've been, once they got to full strength, they've been doing quite well stopping any team, even Nevada's offense, which is pretty good at times.
And here's the thing. San Diego State's front seven is very good. You got Jake Feely. You have Calvin Munson. You have J.J. Augustus Whitaker. And those are just three names that those are just the three neat big names, right? Yeah, but they all play as a core very, very hard. And they just blitz the hell out of the quarterback, which is good and bad when you're playing a triple option. It forces the quarterback to make quicker decisions. But at the same time, when you're talking about all these pitches, if you're not playing assignment ball, as I said before, you're going to get burned every single time.
And also, Roberts isn't really a runner, so if he gets flushed out, he's not Tim Jefferson or Nate Romine. He doesn't have that elusiveness as former Air Force quarterbacks have. So if they get after him, that could be a real issue.
Exactly, and that's why he's more of the passer. That's why when you see more of a triple option out of Air Force with Carson Roberts running, you're definitely going to see you know, your fullbacks, your running backs more an option. Carson Roberts is basically used as the last option and not typically the first or second like most triple options are run.
Even so, he's improved quite a bit throughout the year of running the ball.
Oh, absolutely. But we're talking defense here. We're talking San Diego State. Roberts is going to get rocked at least twice in this game.
I'm wondering,
back or just hit hard, grounded.
I'm wondering if Calhoun would pull this play out of the playbook. You know how some teams, like I've seen a lot with University of Utah and teams that run that type of offense, Urban Meyer and stuff at Florida, not as much Ohio State, but there's the run pass option play. So if he's getting crushed or getting pressured, I wouldn't be surprised. I know Air Force does this a little bit, but maybe more often. Run a, not the quick pitch, but don't do it, no fake handoff up the middle, no dive, but just say they do like a split back. They roll to a strong side where he could either, it's what it is, a run, a pass, pass run option. He either does a quick toss or he throws it. I'm wondering if the San Diego State gets enough pressure on him, which they very well could and will, I wonder if they'll pull that play out just to make the defense stutter if he's good, if they see him run a play where he runs to his right side, pulls up to throw, and next play looks exactly the same. Instead of pulling up to throw, he does a toss, like an option. So I wonder if that play could be more relevant in this game and more often if San Diego State has success attacking the quarterback. Because that's a tough play to stop.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think we will see that a little bit more. Air Force has done that a few times. Air Force has, if you've watched Air Force all year, they have done that a few times this season. So I think, you know, Troy Calhoun's prone to doing that more. But I don't know. I think they're just going to stick to a game plan. But once again, back to defense. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going to come on Air Force's offense. It's, does San Diego State have the discipline to stay at home? Now, and the reason why I say discipline is because there have been many times this season where I've been watching games, and Air Force is guilty. All the teams are guilty of this, mm-hmm. where Feely or Whitaker have just gotten in and just gotten a brutal hit on the quarterback drawing out a flag. You're not going to get that with the triple option offense because the quarterback is basically acting like the running back half the time. But with that being said, if Whitaker and Feely and Munson to a certain extent can hold off on making those just boom hits, right? Lowering the boom, right? And instead just focusing on assignment ball, I think that's going to force Roberts to open up the pass more, and I think there we're going to see how good of a passer Roberts has been. Even though we've been seeing him hit the deep ball quite a bit of times the last few weeks, by forcing Air Force to be one-dimensional, the other dimension that they don't know as well, right?
Of course.
We're gonna really see how Air Force can put this back into play.
Question for you. I'm going to be the stat nerd again. Do you have any clue what San Diego State's giving up per play on the ground?
It's got to be like something like 1.9.
No, you overshot it, but not bad. 2.82.
Really?
That's good for top five in the country and 95 yards per game given up. Yet this defense attack's obviously different, but that says something because Nevada's offense is, it's not a triple option, but there's elements of it, but just not as much.
There's no elements of Nevada's offense being a triple option.
No, I mean, they do a little bit of option, but not triple option. They do a little bit.
Yeah, option, but definitely not triple option.
Looking at it, played like
third option in there, it changes the whole complexity of the game.
It does. Here's a couple of notes. Like versus San Jose State, 1 yard per play running the ball. They held Nevada to 1.13. Do you want to take a guess of what their worst rushing game was all year on defense?
I've got to pull up San Diego State's schedule real quick, and I can probably tell exactly who.
Come on, you know it.
Do I want to say South Alabama?
You sure do.
You do?
5 yards a carry. 241 yards.
How did... Oh, my goodness.
They gave up... Fresno State... I know sack yards are included in this, so excuse it a little bit. Fresno State averaged half a yard a rush play. Half a yard. And they have a good running back in Martez Waller there.
Yeah.
We know they have the skill, but again, it just comes back to, will they be disciplined to have the nose tackle take out the fullback every play? Will they have the guy guard the pitchman every time? Have the guy playing the edge every time, every play, even though he gets bored in the third quarter, doing the exact same thing every play? They'll get burned, but I think they'll be fine. It's obviously the defense overall goes to San Diego State. The only probably push area I'd say would be the defensive backfield, because what Stillhammer can do for pass breakups and interception, big play capability, compared to what San Diego State can do, which is, like I said, equal, since they have the defensive player of the year on that side of the ball in the defensive backfield.
Huh.
So
yeah, I see that.
Let me ask you this. How does San Diego State win this game?
Run the damn ball.
Simple.
No, you think I'm joking here. No, it's basically what San Diego State has to do. Okay. So what?
Just play their game, that's it.
Just play their game. Play their game, and then when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. Look, and the reason why we haven't talked about safeties here is we know who has the better safeties. San Diego State, obviously. San Diego State has the better defense. But they just have to be careful. They have to make Air Force one-dimensional. So on the offensive side of the ball, just stay home. Run the ball. And doesn't matter if you're only getting 1 or 2 yards per carry, you pound that ball in there, because Air Force's front seven, they're eventually going to break down. And once you break down, whether you're using Pumphrey first or Price first or whoever, and then you use Rashad Penny as that other bounce outside guy, you know, you're going to
make them tired.
Yeah.
Because their Air Force rush defense isn't great. It's actually better than I thought. It's third in the conference, but still. If San Diego State will just wear you down, if they have two quality backs and a third, it's very simple. There's no fancy way to say it. San Diego State just needs to run the ball well, avoid passing downs essentially, which they already do as it is by running the ball so well on first and second down. They don't want to have this be a throwing competition, because the better quarterback is Air Force, clearly.
Yeah. Unless Christian Chapman just steps up and.
Which we don't know. It's possible, but I don't think they're going to bank on Chapman throwing the ball. I think that's the one area where San Diego State can't have happen. I'm not saying they need to throw 25 times, but they can't have consistent times where he's throwing the ball on third and long or second and long. They need to make it third and four every time where they can choose to run or pass.
Or just play four down ball every single time. Like Rocky Long said, he was not going to punt when he
came
to San Diego State.
Liar! That's what they're going to do. Here's how Air Force is going to win. Get after the quarterback. Get after Chapman. And force, which I don't know if they can. It's just basically the opposite, which I just said. Air Force will need to, I think they need to attack the quarterback, bring heavy pressure early in the game. Heck, here's the thing. See, Air Force's secondary is reasonably good. Like I said, I think it's pretty almost even, essentially. It's pretty close with Stillhammer back there. But if they have this new quarterback who's making his first career start, we know they're going to run the ball. Why not bring seven guys up every time and make them beat seven guys running the ball and make him eventually throw it and see what he can do? I'd fully expect Air Force to do a lot of run blitzing in this game and just stack it inside and let Pumphrey and Price wear them down that way. Bring in seven guys, three guys tackle him, four guys tackle him every play.
You know how many times they hit Ripien in that game?
Who did? Air Force, obviously. How many?
Yeah. They hit him quite a bit. They hit him like five or six. So, you know, Air Force's defense has to get after who the ball handler is. And if it's after Pumphrey, you better plug up that middle. If it's Price, you plug up that middle. If Penny's the option, get to the quarterback before they can get it out to Penny.
Exactly. And they're okay at that. They're averaging seven tackles for loss per game, but Aztec's offensive line has improved quite a bit after getting full strength. So, but again, if you bring seven guys against five or six, you still have one extra guy to block.
We're bringing you this interruption for a tweet saying, "Welcome to the Max Hall Hall of Fame, Nick Emery."
Well, what's going on?
BYU basketball player just got ejected out of the game for a flagrant two foul on a Utah player.
You know why? Because Utah's crushing them tonight. Woo! They are back to the smoking them. Yeah, get back to the game there. Go Utes. But what was I saying? The offensive line's getting better for Aztecs with being full strength. So it's going to be tough, but they're not going to bring in eight linemen, five linemen, a couple of tight ends, and a fullback and a running back in the QB. They're going to want to spread it out a little bit with at least two wide. So why not? I think Air Force should fully stack the box, have Pumphrey or whoever beat them with seven or eight guys tackling him, and have San Diego State throw the ball and see what he can do. And if he starts to beat you, readjust, but start early and just attack, and run blitz as much as you feel comfortable with and make him throw the ball.
Absolutely.
Do you think, let me ask you this then, with San Diego State's secondary doing quite well this year, and Air Force having multiple guys doing what they're doing, whether it's McVay, Griffin, Colonnett, do they have... Can they stop that, those deep passes that will obviously come at least some point in the game?
I think they'll get a few picks. I'm going to say two picks. Over under set on two interceptions in this game. I'm going to say they're probably going to hit two interceptions.
Just on Air Force alone?
Just on Air Force alone. Okay.
That wouldn't surprise me. Roberts has 10 interceptions on the year.
Yeah, he's prone to throwing interceptions.
He had, three versus New Mexico, I think, I want to say?
Yes, and he had four versus Boise State.
Ooh. No, three in his last two games. So six of his 10 have come in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, yes, you're right. So anyway, as I was saying, Casey's going to get at least one pick, probably. And so this is where I'm thinking that, we got to save this for after we practically the game. Fiesta Bowl has a new sponsor. Casey's going to get at least one pick in this game. I'm pretty sure you're going to see at least two picks by Roberts. The key is, can he minimize those mistakes, and can the Air Force defense minimize those turnover plays to minimal points, say field goals and stuff, touchdowns?
That would be different. I think both teams will move the ball reasonably well. I wonder if Rashad Penny's special teams will be the difference in this game, because he's averaged, I think, over 30 yards per kick return. Something insane. That's why he's the special teams player of the year. I'm thinking that could be the overall difference. But let's go to our picks. Who are we picking? Who should we pick? How are we picking this game? Because we're at that point where we need to discuss winners and not winners or losers.
Do I get to pick this game? Even though I don't know if I'm covering yet or not.
Whatever. We're not that important. Come on.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
You're not calling the game, are you?
No, I'm not calling a game. Well, no, yes, I will be at Rabble. I'm going to say... Well, who do you have first? Let's go with you.
I knew it. It's coming back to me. The thing is, well, the quarterback situation concerns me. It doesn't, just because of what they do. I'm going to go. No, I'm just going to say San Diego State's going to win this game, which might come to a shock to a lot of people who think I hate the Aztecs. But again, remember, we're biased toward every team. It's going to be – here's what I'm afraid of. I think it might be a low-scoring game, and that's not going to be what I want to see. Because the defenses are – San Diego State's defense is really good, but Air Force will get a play or two to get down the field. I'm thinking I might – because the over-under is, I believe it's, what, 52 in this game? That seems way too high for me. Take the under, folks. Because this game's going to be a two-hour – well, not 2 hours, but a very quick game just because it's 52 and a half at 50 right now, actually. Both these teams run the ball. This will be a quick game. There's not going to be – this is not going to be a 30 to 20 game, or probably wants it to be 28-23. This is not going to be that type of game. I think if anybody gets to 20 points, they're going to win the game. This might be like a 17 to 14 game, and I'm going to – I think San Diego State's going to win by about a field goal.
I'm gonna say the same thing. I think San Diego State wins by a field goal. I think we're gonna see more explosiveness than what you think.
By who though? Air Force?
I think by both. I think the scores will be a little higher. I'm gonna say probably like let's go 37-34.
Ooh, blowing past that over under.
Yeah,
71 points.
Yes.
I want to see more. I just think the – I can – well, let me rephrase it. I think there'll be more points. I'd say if somebody gets to – I think it'll be still like 24-21. So I think if anybody gets to 28 points or 25 points, they're going to win. Just because – look what they did. Air Force – like New Mexico, Utah State, they put up a lot of points. So I could see it being high scoring because San Diego State, they put up reasonably amount of good points. They crushed UNLV. They didn't put up a ton of versus Nevada, but enough – obviously to win quite comfortably. They only put up, what, 28 versus Hawaii, if I'm going to say. Was that correct? Wasn't it 28-7 or something versus Hawaii? Nothing outlandish. It'll be a close one, but Aztecs are going to pull it off. I think they have too much running the ball. And like I said, Air Force will wear down on the defensive front eventually.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Aztecs winning their first outright conference title in a very long time.
Since 1974.
That's how long ago. Okay. And those people say, we shared the conference title.
That's not outright.
Who cares? Come on. Good, congratulations, but there was one year who, oh, this reminds me. The year back in the old Southwest Conference days when Texas A&M was just had the wrecking crew and were just nuts and very, very good. I think it was the final year of the Southwest Conference. 5-way tie for the conference title, I think. Something like that. And there was only 8 teams in the conference.
Oh, my goodness.
Something like that. Not that's a bit extreme, but it's, yeah. It's. I'm actually looking that up right now quick on the wiki page, your Southwest Conference wiki.
All right, so let's talk about other things since we finished with the conference game. So let's first answer this other Twitter question that we have.
Bob Davey.
Yes. If Bob Davey were a tree, what kind of tree would he be?
Redwood, because he's stout and wants to crush everybody and he turns red.
That's a good. Yeah.
Like he's a tough guy. Yeah.
All right.
What do you think? Oak?
I'm going to go with the Japanese red maple tree.
What is that?
Ooh, it's a red maple tree, so you're going to get these maple leaves that are deep, deep red. the Japanese red maple tree. Okay, it's kind of a I'm trying to describe it here. It's not your typical. It's not your typical kind of maple tree. It's got a thinner trunk than most. Kind of, you know, skinny. The maple leaves themselves are a little bit thinner. Kind of overflowing.
Versatile.
Yes, extremely versatile.
There you go.
The dash of red, welcome addition in yards and parks across the U.S. So it's not just confined to Japan. And the first specimen of the tree reached England. So it does grow in England. So it's very versatile over the course. And, of course, quirky, fun. You definitely want one in your backyard. And is very underrated because it doesn't get named Coach of the Year.
As he should have been, I think.
Okay, so.
Wait, here, I'm going to go back to my thing. I was correct. Southwest Conference had 5-way champion back in 94. Texas, nice. TCU, Baylor, Rice, and Texas Tech all share the conference title because Texas A&M was ineligible. That's the quinterback conference there for you.
That is the quinterback conference. Okay, so next things next. Have you heard of the new sponsor for the Fiesta Bowl?
No, I was just about to look it up, but I didn't see it. What is it? It was Tostitos.
It's not Tostitos.
Oh, Vizio was last couple years.
It's not Vizio. It's not your usual ones. How about the Battle Frog?
What's a Battle Frog?
Battle Frog. It is, if I can pop it up here.
It's better than the Duck.
I was looking at this on Twitter. So if you guys want to know what I do when we do these podcasts, it's
tweet.
Go on Twitter and see what the latest news are.
Oh, is that the official Fiesta Bowl Twitter account? Nothing was there.
Yeah, I heard from others. Where did I see it?
So let me ask you this. Was Nick Emery equivalent to another nut punch for BYU? Since they had another one last week?
So according to Tim Ring, Battle Frog is the new title sponsor of the Fiesta Bowl. The Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl kicks off 11 a.m. January 1st. That was 27 minutes ago.
So what is – you didn't tell me. What's Battle Frog?
I'm still not sure. I think it's the obstacle course, Battle Frog.
That's the best they could do.
I don't know. Fiesta Bowl. Dude, we have the GoDaddy.com Bowl.
But they're the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay, so here's the Battle Frog College Championship. I've got to figure out what that
is. Oh, here it is. I think I found it on Twitter, the Battle Frog Series.
It's a race.
The obstacle race.
It's an obstacle race.
Fiesta Bowl.
So, okay. Now this has to be a new segment of the show because now we're already here. We might as well. Okay. Name the Battle Frog obstacle race for the Fiesta Bowl.
Is it already out there?
Get your idea. Huh?
I don't even know what the Battle Frog is. Let me click on their Instagram account here. Hold on.
No, Battle Frog is not.
Is not what?
They haven't announced it yet. This was announced by some TV guy.
Do you trust the guy?
Tim Ring. He's a reporter, I guess, out in Phoenix.
They do have a 24-hour BFX event in March 2016 in Miami. No.
Okay, so since I'm going based off this and until I've been proven wrong and we can apologize in the next podcast, my Battle Frog Fiesta Bowl obstacle, because I've been to two Fiesta Bowls now, right?
I've been to one, yeah.
Okay, so here's what you do. You first have to find a parking space that you and five of your buddies have to actually like reserve the space going six round and holding the space and then successfully stop a 4x4 before then you run to the University of Phoenix Stadium, run around it three times, then run up to like where the Glendale like shopping complex is. And then they're going to have like a giant obstacle course, like parkouring across the buildings because it's kind of all funky architecture.
Can we include somehow a clothesline play to, because I'm watching the Nick Emery sideswipe. Holy crap. He does a full on clothesline to the chest.
Yeah, exactly.
That has to be included. It's the turnstile, something like that, right?
Yeah. You have to go through. You have to go through the turnstiles in and out of the in and out of the country bar, and then afterwards, then you have to stay on the mechanical bull for 15 seconds. If you don't, you're disqualified. And then you have to, after you do that, you have to get thrown off in such a strategic way that you're going to land inside the yellow tape, and then run all the way back to your parking spot. Then tailgate with only Tostitos chips, a black bean bowl chili out of the can, okay, and queso dip.
This, I don't know what to say. Let's wait till this is official. Let's get to some other news really quick here, because I want to talk about, there's some bowl stuff that we kind of know. Let me ask you this, though. I put some comp, like, well, first off, the Mountain West is not going to the Las Vegas Bowl, if you're wondering. And I put some comments, like, I wrote an article, and there's actually quite a bit of activity, so I thank people for that. Tell me if this is clear for you. Maybe I'm the dumb person here, but I want to make sure I'm not, or see if I am. BYU had the option of playing in the Las Vegas Bowl or Hawaii Bowl in 2015 or 2019. Due to them going to the Vegas Bowl this year, they're locked into the Hawaii Bowl in 2019. How would you interpret that? What bowl game could they only go to in 2019?
The Hawaii Bowl.
So not the Las Vegas Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Unless the Las Vegas Bowl somehow become, I don't know.
I just saw a comment in here. It's like, so what does that mean? Is there any way? I'm like, I read what I put before. I'm like, I put exactly that. And I don't know why they didn't quite understand what I was saying. They're like, I want more clarification. It's just weird. But here, Mount and San Diego State fans are like butthurt or crap. Oh, we can't go to Vegas.
Well, basically, it gives BYU an opportunity to nut punch another team in midseason. Let's think about it. They, they fought with Memphis players during the bowl game last year. They nut punched Boise State. They had a dirty play on Nebraska early season
tonight.
Right, there was some basketball team. Right, you had tonight their basketball team against Utah. Okay, there's probably at least one or two more dirty plays we could point out during the season. But let's be honest. If there's any way that they can, if there's any way that they can have a cheap shot against people that they're vying whenever they use some way to try and get ahead, they're going to take that cheap shot. And for them, the cheap shot is lobbying to get the Las Vegas Bowl because it's, quote-unquote, a more prestigious bowl than the Hawaii Bowl.
And they had the record to get there. 9 wins is what they needed to get. Because 9 wins for BYU, because it was, obviously if they lost to more teams, 8 or 7 wins, they wouldn't be going here. 9 wins.
And you know this is – and here's the other thing. You know this is obvious that now Las Vegas Bowl is going to be vying for –
not
going
to happen. They're going to be not going to happen. Utah. Not going to happen.
Yes.
Zero chance.
Yes.
I would like for it to happen, but there is no –
accept it now.
Happen. It's not going to happen.
Accept it.
They really want USC, but that's really not going to happen.
Forget USC. There's only one matchup that will be appropriate for the Las Vegas Bowl since BYU is so insisting on they get there. And that is they get to play their arch rivals who they never wanted to play again.
Make it so,
Las Vegas Bowl.
It's going to be Cal or Washington State, I guarantee.
It's going to get Utah.
They should, but I don't think it's going to happen. So that bowl's out of the picture. That means the Poinsettia Bowl gets the number one pick. And guess what? They don't want their hometown team there. They really want Boise State. So the two options for San Diego State, they're probably going to go to the Hawaii Bowl. They could play Temple. They could play Navy. They could get a good matchup in Hawaii. However, what they really want is to go to Toledo's, maybe. But it's American first, I believe, in the Hawaii Bowl. Oh, yeah, Idaho. Sorry, Idaho Bowl, Toledo, but yeah, that's a possibility as well. But they really want the Cactus Bowl. Two reasons. It's in Arizona. Better than Idaho. You can agree with me with that, correct? In December. The only way they get there is because if because there's going to be 5-7 teams, which is stupid, but it's going to happen. There is an email from the communications manager from the that bowl game, the Cactus Bowl. They're basically saying they're taking only 6-6 teams. But yet Kansas State, who's sitting at 5-6, could be bowl eligible if they lose because their APR is high enough this weekend. But the way I read her email was that they're not going to take a 5-7 team. So there's a possibility San Diego State could go to the Cactus Bowl because they'll have the number two pick if they elect to not take a bowl-eligible Kansas State team. Because the rules are so out there. I don't know if, say, Kansas State can go to a bowl game, but I'm assuming they have to fill out the 6-6 or better before they go to 5-7, correct?
Yes.
But they have a bowl tie-in, so it's weird. Like, they're eligible, but they can't. So, plus, the Cactus Bowl pays $3 million. And they move up some out to the number two Mountain West spots. There's not enough Big 12 teams. So that's probably where they really want to go. So there's that option as well. Air Force is probably going to the Armed Forces Bowl or back to Idaho, but they went there last year. So we'll see. But San Diego State's the most intriguing team to me in the bowl season because win or lose, they could be getting a big payday if they go to the Cactus Bowl.
Okay.
Anything else? Apparently there's phantom rumors or possible rumors of Missouri interviewing half the Mountain West.
Yep.
For their head coaching job.
Matt Wells getting his name tossed around there as usual.
Yeah, Mike Bobo not going to get him. And Troy Calhoun, the only one that probably would make sense. But real quick, we need to wrap this up.
All missed out that football Bob.
Is he interviewing anybody anywhere?
I don't know. I actually don't think so. I think he's comfortable at New Mexico.
Go for it. Get them to a Mountain West title. I want to see football Bob at New Year's Day bowl game. Is there going to be any coaches that leave really quick? I know we discuss this every week, but any coach that's going to leave this year or be gone?
I don't.
Okay, so I think we covered enough on this show, which is much longer than we anticipated after the bullfrog talk.
Yep.
Which?
Battle frog.
Bullfrog's the sunscreen, right?
I think so, yes.
I think battle, regardless, that's a poor sponsor. Come on. Right?
Yeah, it's definitely not their best.
All right, so that's our show for tonight. So I hope you enjoyed everything. Our mystery guest did not show up, so that's okay. I probably should. I didn't even need to bring it up, but he's busy. So that's our show. Title game. We have a bunch of coverage. We'll have more stuff coming up tomorrow throughout the week. I might do some historical perspective if I could squeeze it in about a few things. But, yeah, MWCConnection.com. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, soon to be Google Play Music, which, sure, maybe will be recommended if you're hiking because they give recommend. Do you ever use Google Music, Chris?
No, but I should.
It's a pretty good service. It gives you like recommendations. Hey, it's Monday night. What should you do? It's cooking. It's driving home from work. You're working out. We might sneak into what category would we sneak into for? Like, what would our category be?
Sports, entertainment?
Let me rephrase what I'm saying. If you go to Google Play Music, it'll give you recommendations. Hey, it's Saturday. What do you want to do? It's party night or cooking dinner or it's some sort of a random category. Where do you think we'd fit?
Snow. Football and chill.
Relaxing? Are we relaxing, you think?
No, it's football and chill.
Okay.
Get with the picture, Jeremy. Sorry. Get young, get hit. Sorry, I hang
I up. Get no, I know what you mean. I think that saying's just stupid, that's all.
Oceanic TV and chill.
Oh, jeez. That's our show for tonight. Follow Greek Podger for those hot takes since he's apparently hip or something or trying to be.
I'm not hip. Let's be honest.
You do.
I'm at 472 followers. Get me to 500.
Let's get him to 500. We did surpass 2,000 on Facebook and the MWC Connection Twitter account. Yeah, again, check us out, mwcconnection.com. Leave a review, 5 stars. That'd be helpful. We've got the title game this weekend. Again, that's 4:30 Pacific, ESPN2, all that great stuff. But hope everybody had a fun time to this show because it was quite interesting this evening. And, hey, we'll be back with you Sunday to recap the title game. And let's see if our predictions are right. So it's go Aztecs, right? Is that how we end this thing?
No, but sure. No.
Go Picks. Go, let's do this. Go Good Game and Go Picks. We'll see you guys Sunday night.